Well, welcome again. It's good to have everyone in God's house this morning. We continue our series in the Gospel of Mark, following Jesus. And this morning, we are in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever wants to lose their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, we're looking at deny your selfie this morning. I don't know, any selfie people out there? Oh yes, I know you are because I see it on social media. And I don't know if you've had your sort of fun or funny moments with selfies. My daughter and I have. I had to learn the whole selfie thing. She, you know, grew up in the generation where they know all about that with the cell phones. But we've had our moments. We had our moment where we were trying to figure out how to use the selfie stick. We were given one, you know, that, I don't know, they still have those where you reach out there, you can press the button. And I never could figure that out. So we had our moments for that. And then we had our moment at the Grand Canyon, where I'd heard all the, you know, horror stories, and so we had to do the selfie moment on the Grand Canyon, on the rim there, but I was such an overprotective father, but we got out there, and we're trying to get the right angle, I kept looking back, and then so finally we got that, but probably not the perfect shot, and then there was, we do our Christmas cards every year, and I got the Apple Watch. And it has a camera function on it. So, you know, it's kind of a different kind of selfie. But I caught myself actually figuring out the watch. And that was one of our best Christmas photos ever, was me kind of looking like a secret agent or something with my hand on my watch. But I don't know. The other thing is people look at how many views your selfie has. You know, how many likes, how many loves, all that sort of thing, kind of track that sort of thing. But it reminds me, though, and there's lots of great things because it's an easy way to share with relatives. My relatives are spread across the country, and so we get to share back and forth and look on social media and see what's going on. But there's also a sense in which that our generation, our culture is sort of a Gen Me, they call it. And not just the young people, all the boomers, too. All you boomers, they got it from you, okay? So we are just sort of self-absorbed, and there's some good things about that. We want to prove ourselves and do that ourselves, but it reminds me that when we come to this saying of Jesus, and this is the centerpiece of the Gospel of Mark, that it was completely countercultural in that day, and it is surely countercultural in today's world. And so I invite you back into this story. Jesus is teaching the disciples and, frankly, a large crowd of people when Jesus gives the least popular thing that he ever said. The least popular thing that Jesus ever said. The least popular podcast that Jesus ever gave when he said, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." Man, if you don't realize how countercultural that is, even to Christians today, who've kind of, you know, part of the mainstream culture in many respects, then you just don't get what Jesus was saying. And so I think at this moment, in the middle of Lent, as we journey towards the cross and we journey towards the resurrection, to pause and to think about these three sayings in our own lives today. And the first is deny yourself. Man, is that like completely countercultural? What do we say today? Assert yourself. Get your own way. Push into the crowd and manifest yourself. We know there's all kinds of great things out there, but Jesus is saying, deny yourself. In other words, find yourself by losing yourself. Find yourself by losing yourself. Deny yourself. But look at Jesus for a moment. Everywhere in Jesus' life, it's about denying himself. Denying himself and serving others, that we find ourselves by losing ourselves. And that is truly the way of love. Today, sometimes we think about, well, love is, you know, asserting yourself and doing this. But you know what? The truth is, to really love, is to deny yourself and think of the other person first. And in doing so, you discover a richness in the fabric of life that you hadn't in any other way. Deny yourself. Now, you know that in lots of ways, we do sort of know that there's a truth here, right? I mean, if you want to grow in physical strength or in aerobics or whatever, what do you have to do? You have to discipline yourself, don't you? I mean, if you're dieting, you got to discipline yourself. There's all kinds of diets that are like, you know, kind of do what you want to do. But down deep, you got to discipline yourself. And that's really kind of what denying it is. If you're going to grow physically in strength and you're going to work out in the gym, then guess you can't just do it when you feel like it. You many times have to deny yourself. If you're going to be a long distance runner and you're going to get up, you can't just do it when you feel like it. Many times you have to deny yourself. And the same thing is true in our spiritual walk. We have to learn to deny ourselves, to put aside some of, you know, the things that we want and all about Gen Me in our own way. I don't care whether you're a young teenager or you're a boomer. You know, there's a fabric of Gen Me that's part of our culture rather than sort of denying ourselves for the good of others, for the good of love, for the good of Christ and the cross. So to deny ourselves and to take up our cross. Now, we have to pause for a moment when you think about taking up our cross, because today, the cross has become a beautiful necklace. I have a necklace myself, with several with a cross on it. It's a piece of jewelry, and it's a decorative piece. And so today, sometimes when we think take up our cross, we're thinking, well, it's sort of a decorative thing. It's gold and it's silver. But the truth be told, if you go back to this culture, it was a symbol of torture. The worst kind of torture, that's where the word excruciating comes from the cross. Pain, torture, humiliation, the worst kind of way. We have this cross up here for the season of Lent as we journey towards Good Friday and Easter, and we have the crown of thorns, but it was brutal beyond that even. So for Christians to move from in a culture where the cross was the worst symbol of torture and humiliation and hurt, to actually make jewelry, make crosses out of gold and silver, was an incredible thing. And what it took was Christ giving himself on the cross to take the worst tragedy that could ever happen and turn it into the greatest triumph. And Jesus is saying that what we need to do is take the path of him, to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and to follow him. And that pathway is beautifully pictured. I want to read it again in Philippians chapter 2 that Sue read, when Paul is writing from prison, by the way, and writes this: "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, gave himself up completely, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God has highly exalted him." And that is so powerful. How are we doing at denying ourselves and taking up a cross? You know, for all of us, I think the image of taking up a cross many times is the thing that comes to us in life. You don't go looking for a cross, frankly, all right? But there's going to be a cross somewhere in our life, each and every one of us, that we have to bear, that is something hard. But when that cross comes to you, you can look to Christ, who didn't live a life all about him. He lived a life about giving his life so that we could have life. What is your cross today that God has whispered to you and tapped on your shoulder? It might be the loss of a loved one. It might be facing an illness. It might be a conflict in a relationship, or just adversity and difficulty in life that is a cross. You can always look to Jesus and know that in the eyes of Jesus and in the heart of Jesus, Jesus knows what it is to bear the cross that you're bearing, because Jesus bore all of our sins, all of our shortcomings, all of our pain, all of our loneliness, all of our hurt, all of our darkness on the cross in that day, that first Friday on the cross. And so sometimes for us, we discover ourselves by losing ourselves. Sometimes we discover the greatest measure of God's love for us and God's presence in the greatest hurt and darkness that we face. And it's hard to explain that. But sometimes in the greatest darkness of the soul, when we feel most alone, We feel God's presence whispering to us that he loves us, even though we can't see the light of day, as it seems, or the next step forward. So Jesus whispers to us to deny ourselves and to take up a cross and to follow him wherever it takes. Now, I said before that the Gospel of Mark is the most action-packed gospel that there is. And everywhere, you know, it starts out with action. It doesn't start out with the birth narrative. It starts out with John the Baptist, you know, this colorful guy in the middle of the desert, you know, preaching repentance and baptism, and then goes to the wilderness, and then Jesus is on the move. And everywhere in the Gospel of Mark are the phrases, immediately, and then the other phrase is, along the way. And the question that everyone asking is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? As Jesus invites us along the way. But here's the thing, friends. What is the way? The way is the way of the cross. And that's the way it is. There's no, you know, making it sweet. But the cross leads to the resurrection. It is a life, a sacrifice and service in all of life. And the people who have made the greatest difference in our world today and in days past are people who served and sacrificed themselves for the good of others. And you know, not just Jesus, but those who follow the way of Jesus. I think of Mother Teresa, who selflessly served so many people, the lost, the lonely, the hurt, the forgotten, the marginalized. She went to them and reached out to them in a way of a love that was transforming. It was not the way of the culture today. It was not the way of Gen Me. But everywhere that she went, she brought peace and happiness. She changed lives. And Jesus invites us to follow him to the way of the cross, but it also is the way to the greatest happiness we'll ever know. And there's irony there. I realize it when we think about denying ourselves, because what do we think about as the way of happiness? Fulfilling all of our dreams. But who do you know that's had everything they want and they are miserable, they are unhappy, because they haven't learned to give up themselves, right? Because they want everything, I want. But Jesus whispers to us, deny yourself for growth. Take up your cross. Whatever God has given you, a burden, man, I've seen some transformational lives. I know you have too. For people who have special needs, challenges, and other kinds of adversity and challenges they've overcome, and they just bring light into the world. Think in your own mind who that is. I've known people that have changed the world, it seems, or at least their world, in a hospital bed, facing death, because the light shined so bright from their life that it just changed people's lives. Every doctor, every nurse, every visitor, every relative that went into the room left saying, man, there's like a radiance on that person, even though they're going through this dark chapter of life or other moments in people's lives. I don't know if you've read the classic Hinds Feet in High Places. Anyone? You got to go back a ways for that. But if you haven't, you should. Season of Lent. It's a small book written in 1955. It is a spiritual classic by a woman named Hannah Hennard. And she came to a vision, actually, when she was flying into Switzerland. Her father had passed away. She was very, very close to her father. And she had this almost like a vision. But she writes a story of this woman, young woman, who sees the shepherd of love who comes to her, and she has a vision of a hind. It comes from the verse in Habakkuk, he will make your feet like hind's feet. A hind is a very fleet kind of mountain deer, and they're very skilled at climbing the mountains, and they're beautiful, they're elegant, and they're graceful. And so this young woman sees this hind, and she wants to be like that hind that can scale this mountain. And the shepherd of love comes to her and promises that she can scale the mountain and become like the hind. But she must have her heart pierced first with this thorn of pain. And she is overcome by that pain. And then the shepherd of love gives her two companions for this journey. And the companions' names are Suffering and Sorrow. And the young woman is taken back by that. Suffering and Sorrow as her companions in life. And the young woman's name is Much Afraid. She's timid, and her feet are deformed. But she begins this journey up the mountain, and as she journeys up the mountain with suffering and sorrow, she comes across this kind of lord of the darkness that tries to, you know, hold her back. She comes across mountains that are treacherous and precipices that are treacherous. But all along the way, she's growing along the way. And every challenge, every adversity, the valley of humiliation, all these kinds of challenges that she faces, she realizes she's growing a little bit stronger every day. And then finally, she reaches the summit of the mountaintop where the shepherd of love is there. And the shepherd of love reveals her new name, which is no longer Much Afraid, but is Grace and Glory, and gives her a crown with grace and glory. And then the shepherd of love reveals the true names of her companions, which are Suffering and Sorrow, and they are Joy and Peace. And it is one of the most powerful spiritual analogies you could ever read. Compelling. I highly recommend it. But it's not just a powerful narrative. It's true to life. Because that's the way it is, friends, in the deepest part of life. Because we all face a lot of challenge and adversity. And then when she finally looks down at her feet, they're no longer twisted and deformed, but they're the beautiful, graceful legs and feet of the deer called the hind. For he will make your feet like hind's feet in high places. I recommend that. But it's everywhere in Scripture, because you and I look for the easiest path and the quickest path and the happiest path. But Jesus would whisper to you that if you climb the summit of life and let your light shine brightest, then your path is going to be hard. You're going to be like Much Afraid. You're going to be like Jesus, who is not much afraid, but giving of himself along the way. You're going to face challenge and adversity in life. It's going to be difficult in places as well as happy. We all want happy. Don't go looking for suffering and sadness. It will find you along the way. Believe me. But in that, you will find the greatest presence of Christ that you've ever known. And you will find that if you submit and follow the way of the cross, the way of Christ, the way of our Savior, that you will grow and your arms of love will grow stronger. And your light will shine brighter in the darkness, and you will have an impact that you would never have otherwise. And that's the truth of life. Jesus said, if you want to follow him, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Not just follow like this is the information. This is a transformational journey. This isn't just information. This is transformation. As you follow Christ along the journey of life, each and every step of the way. Paul the Apostle knew it. But look at the adversity, challenge, and difficulty Paul the Apostle faced. And everywhere, throughout the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament, people faced adversity and difficulty and challenge. But what happened when they weren't looking for the easy way? The light shined bright in the darkness. We'll close with this thought. Which is, if you don't know that one, then I hope you know, it used to be required reading, Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. All right? Used to be required reading in the school, if not high school, then in college. John Bunyan, great Christian, wrote that book from prison. From prison. And you know, Pilgrim's Progress, it's about Christian, the young person named Christian. And Christian has to follow this pathway of life and go through one valley of humiliation, face battle after battle after battle. But along the way, Christian's life changes and grows and gets stronger each and every day. It is a great metaphor of the Christian life, the way it should be lived. Not the easiest path, many times the hardest path, but the path that makes the greatest difference in life. And he knew it because he was in prison. But his light shined bright. So know this. If you're in a moment of challenge and adversity and darkness and difficulty, pain and heartache and heartbreak, Jesus is there. And Jesus was there first in a greater way than even you and I ever are. But know that the pathway of the cross is also the pathway of life. It's a pathway that can change other people's lives, because it isn't all about this side of eternity. It's also about the other side of eternity. And only then will we really know the impact that we have made on other people's lives. Not because of the easy times, but because of the challenge and difficulty and adversity we faced. Jesus said, for the one who would follow me, they need to learn to lose their life in order to find it. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. In this season of Lent, as we journey towards the tragedy of the cross and the triumph of the resurrection, know this, that in the greatest, darkest, most difficult chapters of life, on the other side is the greatest light, the greatest triumph we will ever face, because Jesus Christ, the one who went before us on the cross, also went before us in the resurrection. And know the pathway of the cross is the pathway of life. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we sometimes read your word and your sayings, your word is difficult, but your word is so true to us. See, Lord, in this, the most difficult probably of all of your sayings and all of Scripture, help us to learn the secret that in losing our life, we will find it. And in serving others, in sacrifice, we will find the greatest light. And in giving, we will find that we receive more than we'd ever known as we follow in your pathway and deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you, the Lord of life. We pray this in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.